I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Lunta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, October 24th, 2016.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So last week when we started the show for
our second season.
Yeah, indeed. We'd done a show in the summer where we caught up, but we didn't catch up in terms of what's happened since. And one of the things that you said in August when we last did this was your daughter, your eldest, was going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has that experience been like? We're a month and a half or so into the school year.
Yes.
What's that been like for you as a mom?
So I'm still alive, partially. I haven't fully lost my mind yet. No, it's actually, surprisingly, it's gone very smoothly, knock on wood.
For you and for her?
For both of us, yeah.
Well, that's good, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what it is. I try not to question it too much. But the transition has been really smooth for her.
But she's a bright girl, so I don't... I mean, did you think...
Yeah,
do you think
you
worried needlessly, say?
Sometimes I think I do, just because I know she's like... She can be a bit reserved sometimes. And maybe, you know, that isn't aware of actually what she's capable of. But I think high school has actually made her more aware of what she's capable of. So I think it's actually brought in a greater awareness of her skills and her capabilities. So it's been great. A little bit of a transition for me just in the way of, you know, logistics in the morning with my younger one and such. But as far as high school goes itself, yeah, she's blended in really quickly. It's only been, you know, about a month and a half into the school year. The issue of drugs and such has already come up.
How did that come up?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, we were just talking about stuff, and she was saying that these two kids, or a group of kids actually, had been suspended that day because they were smoking weed after lunch.
What were you talking about, grade 8 kids?
Yeah.
So what's that, 13, 14?
Yeah, about that, yeah, 13.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure they were all about 13-year-olds from how she said it, and she was just appalled that they would be doing that at school.
She knew them and were friends with them, say?
Well, she wasn't friends with them, but she did say that one of her friends was talking about meeting up with these guys the following day to do that, which that is smoking weed.
Yeah. it's kind of hard, you know, not to judge people, especially, but I mean, I'm 34. I've never smoked weed in my life.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not something I would do. So it's easy for me to say, well, yeah, people shouldn't do that. But, I mean, when you have the federal government in the midst of legalizing it, you're sending a very mixed message to kids who know what's going on.
Well, see, my thoughts is, and like I told Simone, I never, ever, ever agree with children using any kind of mind-altering drugs at all.
Yeah.
Any kind of drugs, illegal drugs, because their brains are just not fully developed yet. Like,
right.
They're not there,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, when we talk about, and I don't want to generalize, and I mean, like I said to her, we don't judge people based on their drug preferences
mm-hmm.
either. And I'm not saying any one drug is better than the other.
Yeah.
But when we talk about marijuana or weed, particularly in my household, I make sure that I let her know that they're, you know, when you're usually as a child, when you're using it at high school and stuff like that, they're using it because they want to get high,
yeah.
right? They want to try and they think they're going to have fun. As an adult, more than usually, there's some medicinal effects to it.
Someone has glaucoma, someone suffering from
anxiety, chemotherapy, nausea. There's such a wide variety of things, but I think, you know, as somebody myself who is used, you get to a point in your life where you're not using to get high anymore. It's usually for anxiety, sleep, sometimes just to be able to eat, stomach issues. There's so many issues, but it's not just to get off, shits and giggles for the weekend. So that was the first thing I had to explain to her, just so that it's really clear.
And she got it.
And she gets it.
Yeah.
You know, she gets that there's people that can still use marijuana medicinally or even recreationally and still carry on like regular lives as adults and work and maintain jobs and such as adults, right? But it's definitely not something that's promoted to venture into as a child. That's not, and especially because of the whole legalization, and of course it's probably, I don't know that it's going to be more widely available. Like, it's, if anything, going to be a bit more controlled. Because the reality is, like,
I mean, you go everywhere. You see these dispensaries all over the place,
right? The dispensaries are everywhere, but let's be honest. A 14-year-old or a 15-year-old will not be able to walk into a dispensary and buy weed. It just won't. It can't.
Yeah.
Because they're underage.
Yeah.
There are still procedures and processes that have to be used at these places, right? So that's the first thing. And to be honest, it's 2016. Kids have been smoking weed for a long, long time. And like I explained to Simone, when I was in grade 8, there were kids with like full-blown drug addictions. So I think marijuana it's part of the problem, but it's not the problem. Especially with kids in high school. There's so many other things that they have access to. I mean, I'm not saying I'd want my kid to smoke weed, but I mean, again, I've seen kids in grade 8 with full-blown heroin addictions, so.
And the people talk about fentanyl, and I'm sure that's easily available for all people.
Well, it can be in anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the next place that our conversation went, is, you know, there's drugs that people take, you know, just for fun, and it could be basically the last time you ever do it.
Yeah.
The last day that you live.
Well,
and it's not worth it.
So the what fascinates me about all of this is the communication part, being able to talk to her about all of this. Has that changed at all now that she's in high school, say?
Not really, because Simone and I have always had a pretty open, like, I've always wanted to have that open communication with her.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really able to have that with my mom. Some of those more, you know, difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had like a real open door policy with Simone. I have to initiate conversation with her about these things, but she's more than happy to like tell me about it and discuss it and rationalize. We like to.
So, but people have warned you though that once a child gets to high school, that dynamic changes. I mean, you're expecting that, aren't you?
I wait for it. I mean, I don't really expect it. I don't know. We just, our relationship's a bit different.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it changes, so be it. I mean, I'm still a parent at the end of the day, right? So I still feel like I don't have an obligation to pry into her life, but I'm still going to be connected in some way or another. You have, like, that's your responsibility as a parent, right?
Yeah.
So I'll do what I can to, you know, to keep up with her, but so far, so good. She's keeping active, she's into sport.
And the friends think she's getting along with people and all that?
She's, you know, she's very, again, she's just kind of transitioned with her same group of friends from
elementary
school,
yeah.
And she was in this French program, so she's kind of stayed clung with them, all boys, which she doesn't seem to, she has like one or two close girlfriends, but she's okay with that. So.
And that'll change too, I guess. As
I'm not, you know, every she. I find that it's like she changes weekly. It's like she's a different person. So, yeah, the changes are like just rapid right now.
So what's it like being back at Tupper?
It's weird.
It's our high school for people listening. I went to that high school. Jackie went to that high school. Now Jackie's daughter.
Yeah. So it's and so yeah. Now my daughter goes there. So it's weird. Because you know, like I said, our grad pictures are hanging in there. I was talking to her music teacher, and he graduated from a high school in Victoria in '99. So you know, not much older than us at all. A year older. So times are definitely changing.
Are there people from our era that are still there teaching?
There's like two or three teachers. So there was Mr. Hughes. He was a PE teacher for the boys, also a wrestling coach.
Uh-huh.
He's still there, so he's been there over 25 years. Mr. Barre, who is also a PE teacher. He taught me PE, actually, and he is Simone's PE teacher now. He's been there for over 20 years.
Huh.
And Miss Ma, who was a food teacher.
Yeah, I remember her, yeah.
Yeah. So there's, those... Oh, and sorry, and the drama teacher.
Miss Rogers.
Yes, Heidi.
Heidi Rogers, yeah. She was the only one at Tupper we got to call by her first name.
Miss Heidi, yes.
Yeah.
So she still has that, still allows them to call her by her first name, and the kids all still love her. And I think she's, like, the department head now, and it's just, Tupper's actually, like, really changed a lot. It's just a great, the programs that they have for the kids and the support, like, the guidance counselor stays, you know, in touch with me. Simone needed a few course changes at first, and it was really easy to get through, and they've all been really great.
And she likes Tupper, right?
She's seeming to really like it so far. She likes all her teachers. I have not heard one complaint.
Well, it always had a very good reputation in the city as being a good school. I mean, I remember in our era,
right?
So I'm not surprised that it's still.
No, I think it's even gotten better.
Yeah.
It just, you know, there was even a parents' night for the music students, and it was just, there were so many parents there. Like, you can tell the level of involvement, you know, in the community and just amongst the parents themselves. It's there's a lot. And I don't know, when you were in school, how many events or things that, you know, things that your parents came to.
Yeah, no, my experience was that... only if they had to, and it was only usually my mom. My dad would never.
Exactly. Know, my mom, for that matter, I mean, she had, I was the eldest, and I still had two younger brothers, so rarely did she have time, and aside from working full-time, rarely did she have time to come to my anything, which I think also adds to, you know, your mischievousness, because your parents don't know what's going on at school. They don't really know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And I always know what's going on.
Yeah, so. I follow a couple people on Twitter. One's a reporter, and the husband, I can't remember what he does now. He's in the film business, I think. And their kids go to Tupper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so it's interesting to hear, however rare they do tweet about it.
Right.
How involved they are. And how very different that is from, say, our era.
Yeah. No, I see it in the schools, for sure. I mean, I try and make it a point to go to, you know, anything they have that I can make it to.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to really mess with my work schedule too much. But anything I can go to, I do try. And it does make a difference, you know. Absolutely makes a difference when you know the teachers. Because really, your kids are around these people for seven plus hours a day.
That's true, right? Yeah.
They do have an impact, and the things that are going on around them makes a difference to to, you know, how they're going to function in school. So,
yeah, I guess I didn't realize this till after high school, just how much, because you are with these teachers for as long as you are during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, you know, I'm remembering stuff that not schoolwork, but just lessons that stay
that
with.
That you learn from teachers that stick around.
Yeah. I mean, they have such an important part that we overlook that, don't we?
They do. And I think, and that's why it's so important, like, as parents, that you're part of that process, right?
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been a learning experience. Looking forward to the next few years. I still have a little one that I have to go through it with again.
Yeah,
but
it goes by so quickly, though, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It's gone by so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, she's already in French 9, so.
Yeah.
I mean,
Are they going to camp?
They've done the camp already.
Oh, have they? Oh.
Yeah, remember? I think I told you it was like the second week of school.
Huh.
Literally. Like school started, that was barely a week.
And then they're off?
And then the next week started, and they were gone on the Tuesday.
Yeah. What, before we broke for the summer,
mm-hmm.
actually, no, in August we were talking about you were just about to take the kids to L.A.,
yeah.
So what was Los Angeles like for the three of you?
Oh, it was so great. We loved it.
And one of the things that worries me about going to places, and I think we talked about this, is just how hot it would get. And you guys were going in the middle of August, right?
Yeah.
So was it really as hot as?
It was pretty, you know what? It was pretty damn hot.
Yeah.
And it was a different kind of hot. Like, it's this L.A., kind of muggy heat.
Yeah.
And so, if I mentioned to you before, we were staying at the UCLA campus.
Uh-huh.
And,
like dorms?
It was in the residential dorms. So, it was quite nice. It was like a suite. But, yeah, we'd wake up in the morning and you'd look outside and it'd look all muggy and gray. And by mid-afternoon, not even, by 10 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like, it doesn't just, you know, progressively get warmer. The sun just comes out and it's burning hot.
Yeah.
And it's muggy and it's hot.
But you were able to get around and do the Hollywood stuff and
oh,
all that?
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely. We got around. We funny enough, I decided to just be a total tourist and we took transit everywhere.
Oh, how was that? It worked?
Yeah, no, it totally, from UCLA, there's a bus that goes straight down into, goes straight down Sunset Boulevard, actually.
And then they have that sort of train now, right, that goes from downtown to Hollywood, right?
I heard about that, but we didn't take it. We just took the bus because I wasn't familiar with this train system.
Yeah.
The bus was right in front of the school, so we would take that. We took it right down Sunset Boulevard. We saw everything. We got off halfway down Sunset and walked over to Hollywood
mm-hmm.
Boulevard. And, we went to the Guinness World Records Museum, Ripley's Believe It or Not. We did all the typical touristy things you could do in L.A.
Yeah, I think anywhere you go, even if you're going to, say, Victoria, from Vancouver, you have to do that sort of stuff at least once,
so.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We, you know, it was fun. We went to, and of course, because I was in courses all day, we really had to utilize the time that we did have. So a lot of stuff was done, like, closer, you know, in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still fun. You know, still a great experience. We did the Santa Monica Pier. It was just really, I think, really surreal for us because it was just, you know.
Yeah, it's American. It's big. It's loud. It's all those obnoxious things. But I mean,
all those things, American.
But it's something that you do have to experience. Otherwise, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, we always speak of L.A. and.
Yeah, Los Angeles for me is a city that has interested me a lot. Like mm-hmm. New York has interested me because I've watched shows or I've watched films, I've read books about New York.
Right.
L.A. I've come to a lot later in life. And in the last couple of years, having been there once and spent several days there, and then started watching the great movies about L.A., like Chinatown, like The Big Sleep, trying to understand it has been just as interesting. I mean, it's not a city that I would want to live in, and it's not a city that I particularly like, but it has a character in itself.
Yes.
It's not like New York. It's not hard like New York and historic, or like even Boston, which has history.
Right.
Or Washington that has power, or Chicago that has character.
No, well, it just feels like it's a city with a lot of secrets.
Yeah. And even, I mean, I remember talking to cab drivers and waiters and things like that, which is usually what I do to really get a flavor of the city.
Right.
And it didn't seem like they liked living there, but they had to live there because that's where their work was.
Right.
And I'm sure even if you asked a showbiz person, an actor, say, they have to live there because that's where Hollywood is.
Well, and that's like, you know, and to that, even when I was there, I felt like it was like the Vancouver of America, almost like one of those places that you only really appreciate as a tourist.
Yeah.
Because I even feel like, even as a Vancouverite sometimes, we don't fully appreciate what we have here as a city.
Yeah, but waiters and cab drivers are not going to be going... Well, they don't have time to go to the beach because they're working 6-7 days a week.
Right.
And they don't really care to go see Paramount Studios because they're not even watching those shows or those films. So what?
No.
It's not a big deal.
Not at all to them,
yeah.
Right? And much like Vancouver, you know, some people come here and, you know, they're excited about certain things, but we're like, okay, well, we see that all the time.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Yeah.
I was once, actually funny, when I was going up to Kelowna once for work, I traveled back and forth around the province frequently.
Yeah.
So I guess this cab driver, I was sick this particular day. I was really sick, and I had just gone off a flight. So I wasn't really in a talking mood. So I assumed he didn't assume that I was from Canada.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I got in the cab, he just started talking about basically how horrible it was here and the housing prices, and it's because of America.
Oh, so he thought you were from elsewhere.
I assume so, because he was talking to me like, I don't know. But I was too sick and tired and jet-lagged to say, you know,
yeah, just
otherwise.
Play along, right?
I was really just laying back there about to, feeling like I was going to die, just letting him talk. Because it's sometimes interesting to hear outsider opinions, especially when they assume that you're not from here.
Yeah.
So that was interesting, and it was like, to me, I said, oh, well, it's beautiful up here. I'd love to live, especially in Kelowna, because I'm not from Kelowna.
Yeah.
And no, he was saying that if he ever won the lottery, he'd be out of there in a minute.
Where would he go?
He said he'd move to, like, some south, like, not even in the States. He said some island off the Pacific or...
Huh.
Like, he sounded like a pretty... Like, he's been in an underground bunker thinking about this for a few years. Like, that's why after a while I was like, I don't know about this guy. Because even when he was talking about his money, it sounded like he had already had some pretty detailed plans about the allotment of this.
How he'd spend your tip.
Well, yeah, and like where he was going to hide money.
He,
of course, he said the government's interest and all these other crazy, like, you know, sometimes that's why you just get in the cab and don't say anything.
Yeah. The if you had to live somewhere else, I mean, would you want to live in L.A. having been there? I mean, I wouldn't. I'd like to visit it again and do touristy things, but I would never want to live there.
Yeah, no, I definitely, like, you know, I was talking to Simone, we definitely want to go again on our own time and, like, do some more touristy things.
Yeah, without work, yeah.
Yeah, without the work aspect and just get, like, a real feel of it, because I personally did really like it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, and I don't know. I'm not the best person to ask because, like I've said, I'd live in Seattle at this point, you know. I've lived in Vancouver my whole life. I love it here, but I'd like a bit of a change. I don't know if I just need a long vacation or if I actually want to move somewhere, but...
I like Seattle, too. I mean, I watch the, as you know, I've watched the Seattle news from time to time, and... It's a different vibe to Vancouver altogether, but not unfamiliar. So I think I would get around well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I feel like I'd still be comfortable in Seattle for sure. So that's it. But even in LA, and I don't know if it's just because I'm black, but I felt really kind of at home there. I always feel like that when I go to the States.
So when you were going around in Vancouver, even your whole life, 30-odd years, you still don't feel at home here?
I mean, I do, but it's just, you know, I don't feel like, when you don't see any of your, like, any faces like your own on a regular basis, it just feels like you're one of a few. And I don't know. It's home because I was born here, and this is where I've always lived, and it's what I know. But have I always felt like 100% comfortable here? I don't know, and I've only started to realize this as I got older and I've started to travel.
See, this is an interesting thing here. Do you feel uncomfortable because the other people make you feel uncomfortable? The other people in Vancouver, because...
No, I don't... I've never felt like that. Like, I've never felt like, oh, other people make me... No. I just feel like when I go to the States, I just feel like it's more relatable to me.
Huh. Interesting.
I just feel more at ease. Maybe I feel like I'm being judged differently. I don't know if that maybe puts... If that's even the right word I want to use, but
so how people, so you do think
perceive
that
you.
So the walking around in a city, whether it's Vancouver or Los Angeles, the way other people react to you, feel that.
I almost feel like in Vancouver, walking around as a black person is almost like it's like you don't see very many black people walking around regularly in Vancouver, right? Yeah. And to some, it's a shock to them, and to me, it's like, well, I've lived here my whole life, so.
See, this is obviously not something that you ought to deal with. This is how society should deal. You know what I mean?
This
is how people
society,
should.
Yeah.
I feel troubled by that. I must say.
I wouldn't.
No, because I feel. I don't know if I feel bad, but I do feel. Sad that someone like yourself, who has lived here your whole life, still can't feel like this is home because other people see you walking down the street and I mean, you feel that from just their presence.
Yeah, you just feel it.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, when you are like the minority. It's hard to feel at home, even though it is your home, right?
Yeah.
And again, like, when I go to Seattle, I just feel more connected. When I was in L.A., you know, there was a night, it was just like a night, it was a group of women, black women from all over the U.S., and I just felt so connected, right? And I don't get that here.
Yeah.
And it's nice to walk down the street and see familiar faces, you know, of people of your own type and kind.
I have to say that thinking about this the last couple of minutes since we've been talking, when I would go to L.A., when I was in L.A., I should say, and there were groups of blacks or Hispanics, because I guess I look Filipino.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be mistaken for being Hispanic. They react to you a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
That they think you're one of us.
Right.
As opposed to, say, if they got to know me, well, oh, you're from Canada, or you're a tourist.
Yeah, but see, and isn't it, and to that point, especially, it's like they're not even judging you on where you're from.
They're looking at you at who they think
you
are.
They're looking at you for face value, and they're like, okay, we'll accept you because you're one of us.
Yeah.
And
so,
you know,
so it works. I mean, it works both ways for us, for you and me, in
right.
that it can alienate us at home, but make us feel at home
somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's interesting perspective. But you know, that's just my personal view right now. And again, like I said, it's just been as I've gotten older and traveled more that I've just. You know, certain places I go, and I'm like, I really feel like I should just be, like, here
yeah.
all the time.
So for personal growth, I guess a lesson for us, as we talk about this, is how you and I would conduct ourselves when we're out in public so that other people don't feel like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, for personal growth, I think, I mean, I try to do this now because like, when I walk down the street, I'll try to smile at people. I mean, not try to perv them out or anything like that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean, just to make people feel...
Oh, yeah, no. I always try and be, like, really helpful, especially now. It's that, like I said, I think traveling, I think it's such an experience that everybody needs to experience, especially, you know, traveling by yourself and just, you know, winging it. Like, just saying YOLO and just... You know,
yeah.
winging it when you go out, right?
Yeah.
Because I've learned to go out and be friendly is really an advantage. And if you can go out and see a friendly face as a tourist, that really helps because you know that's somebody that you could maybe approach
for directions and
ask for directions because that really helps.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try and do those little things, right? And just, you know, be open and accommodating, and
try not to judge people. I think,
no.
we're so quick to doing that.
We do.
He's homeless. She's rich. She's an idiot.
Right.
He's, you know, not worth talking
cool.
to. No.
And that's not at all.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing. Is try not to judge people and just do like you know treat others like you'd want yourself to be treated.
Yeah, it's a lot easier being nice, I think, and. The world could do with a lot more nicer people.
It could, especially right now.
Yeah.
With all that's going on, I think.
So that's a cheery Monday thought to lead us into the week, right?
It is. It really is. And hopefully people will take that throughout the week until the next episode.
Yeah.
Crush that all with something else.
Yeah, well,
another depressing.
Yeah, I'll check in with you next week and see how well we did with being kind to people.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what news we have to stir up. Well, that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, October 24th, 2016.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.